And we are talking today about Earth USA, which is a conference happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the New Mexico Museum of Art. I'd like to introduce Quentin Wilson. He's a retired teacher of Adobe Construction, and Bill Druce, who is a structural engineer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you for having us.
So this is an extraordinary conference. You are bringing people from all over the world for the weekend. It's at the St. Francis Auditorium here in Santa Fe. And on Monday, you're going to be touring Earth buildings and all kinds of local sites of interest. It's all about building with Earth, different kinds of Earth. Who is this conference for?
Well, it's aimed at builders of Adobe structures, governmental people who might be involved with regulating and making Adobe construction happening, architects who are interested in designing with Adobe, students, whether they're construction or engineering or architecture students who might have an interest in earthen building, and we will actually have a few homeowners. So it's a broad spectrum of people for whom we have prepared this conference.
And there are people coming in from all over the world. And, I mean, I had no idea that there was earth building going on, for example, in places like Germany, where they have, you know, 2 days of sun per year.
That's very interesting. Just a quick anecdote. A man named Dr. Klaus Dierks at a conference I was at in Berlin, a hapless speaker happened to say that there were 100,000 earthen homes in Germany. And this very distinguished man in a blue suit and rimless glasses stood up and in the middle of this person's presentation and said, "Pardon me, there are 2 million earthen homes in central Germany alone." So it's unbelievable the amount of earthen work that has taken place historically in North Europe and is taking place right now.
Now, when you say earthen homes, what do you mean? I mean, here we are in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We think of adobe.
Well, that's the first thing that we would think of. Historically, that's what is found in many parts of in New Mexico. Worldwide, we find rammed earth, where dirt is pounded into a form. We find cob, which I tend to call monolithic adobe, where people just pick up damp handfuls of earth and pat it into the shape of a wall. In modern times, the last 30 to 40 years, compressed earth block is made with machines. And there are several other forms. Some people are stuffing dirt into bags and calling it earth bags. So
and into tires.
And into tires. New Mexico has two very unique things, and one is jacal, J-A-C-A-L, where posts are put into the ground in what might be called palisade or fort construction, and then plastered inside and out to create an adobe structure. And sometimes these the wooden members are horizontal, and that's called a fuerte. So we find these in northern New Mexico. They were often built when people were getting close to winter and they didn't have time to make adobe bricks, and they built jacal and fuerte. So it's a form of wattle and daub. And as a matter of fact, I left out wattle and daub. We will have two papers on wattle and daub, where some sort of an armature, usually wood or reeds, is built, and then it's plastered repetitively inside and out to get a thick earthen wall.
So we're talking about Earth USA. What are the advantages of using earth as a building material?
Well, it's right where we are, and it's very simple to work with. There are only 7 vocabulary words we need to learn in order to build with adobe. And so anybody can learn it. They can take classes, they can ask grandparents and uncles and fathers, or they can just observe what people do, or they can figure it out themselves. So it's very simple for the person who wants to do it himself. He can make the bricks, she can make the bricks, create walls, build roofs, and Bill might have something to add to that because he built a home for himself.
Yes, I did. I built a beautiful solar adobe home, and it just works great. It has beautiful thick walls, and it's plastered with beautiful earthen clay plasters on the interior. And just the joy of living in an adobe home is hard to describe. It's just such a beautiful experience. It stays warm in the winter. It's cool in the summer. And it's delightful. I just love it. And anyone who has an adobe home can have that kind of experience themselves.
There are thermal properties of adobe, which makes it a better material to retain heat, to keep you strangely enough, to keep you warm and to keep you cool, unlike, for example, cinder block or cement and materials like that.
The two basic properties that we're interested in from thermal performance, first of all, is the heat capacity of adobe. And for those who care about this, it's 0.2 BTUs per degree Fahrenheit per, per pound.
This is radio.
That's about the same for stone, brick, concrete, and other masonry materials. What is different about adobe is its rate of heat exchange, its thermal diffusivity. And adobe is slow, it's heavy, and it's slow. And so it soaks up heat, but it does it slowly, and it gives it back slowly. And that's what it does. It's just sluggish, and that's wonderful on this planet. Now, the other materials, the mason materials, will soak up the heat, but they give it back too fast. And so adobe will carry over for about 10 hours.
So it'll soak up your daytime heat and give it to you at night, yeah. And then it'll cool overnight and stay cool during the day.
And I can leave my doors and windows open even when it's really cool, and the house still stays nice and warm.
Amazing.
Because the mass of the adobe and of the floors retains the heat. So you're not just dependent on, like, the weather.
Now, how does using earth materials like adobe, how does that actually work in a wet climate?
Well, what I always like to remind people is that we always think about adobe melting away when it gets wet. Well, wood will rot. Steel will rust. So anything except aluminum that we build with, we have to protect it at the bottom with a foundation to keep it out of groundwater. We have to protect it at the top with a good roof to keep the rain off. And so what we do with adobe, it does not have to be any more rigorous than what we would do with wood or steel. We just have to pay attention to top and bottom, keeping the moisture away.
How do contemporary techniques of building and traditional earth building work together? Like, what are some examples from right here in New Mexico, maybe, of kind of the best of both worlds?
I would have to say that there's my viewpoint is, and I'm the curmudgeon. I'm the guy who's out there fighting change. I'm dug change. I got my heels dug in. I don't think there's been anything significant in terms of adobe construction and the techniques and the materials since, I read in Anne Rice's book about Jesus Christ. She talks about his grandmother and describes Jesus' grandmother's house, and it didn't sound anything different than what we would find these days, except now we've added electricity and plumbing and sewer. But beyond that, everything in that house was recognizable to me. The walls, a stone foundation, lintels over the openings to allow doors and windows to be put into place, and some kind of material to hold up the roof structure. And that might be in the places where Jesus was, where it was limited. Those could have been adobe domes and vaults. If there was more wood, they might have been the cedars of Lebanon, or they might have been some other type of lumber. But so my viewpoint is, there's not a whole lot in the modern world that has added that much to adobe. Now, Bill might have another viewpoint. I would hope he did, actually.
Well, we've worked on some beautiful rammed earth homes that have extraordinary contemporary details. And the juxtaposition between steel and glass and with the earthen materials makes a beautiful contrast.
Well, I mean, I was thinking like of things like those insulating solar windows that bring in your heat even when it's 4 degrees outside and things like that.
Well, I'm holding, this is the cover of our proceedings. We are so lucky. The proceedings are already here. 110 pages. The front cover is the Tucson Mountain Retreat by a young architect, Cade, and I've just gone blank on his last name, but it is this, just what Bill is talking about, an incredibly powerful-looking, beautiful. You can see the striations of the rammed earth in this house, and you can also see a lot of glass that is facing south to pick up the heat for the winter. And just as Bill is saying, there is juxtaposition. There is probably some concrete in this lintel, metal parts to the windows and the modern windows. So, yes, indeed, I have to say that there have been a few things, particularly windows and glass, have made incredible advances in the last 50 years.
And skylights.
And skylights. And what you told us you have in your house.
Solar tubes.
Solar tubes.
Which are just these little tubular skylights. Now, you, Bill Drews, have worked on some very interesting projects here in New Mexico, including some historic buildings.
Yes, we've worked on a church in Cuesta, New Mexico, which has an incredibly interesting story. About 5 years ago, one of the walls of the building collapsed. It was a wall of the nave, and when we looked really closely at it, we were able to see that the adobe bricks themselves were just separating, like delaminating, within the thickness of the wall. It had some pretty thick walls, four to five feet thick at the base. And the community actually became divided. Some of the people really wanted to restore the building and be in their old church. And some of the people in the community thought, you know, we've put a lot of money into this already, and it's time to just move on. So we were hired by the community to make a case for preserving the building. And we met before the Archbishop, and we worked together with the community to establish a viable plan for the building. And we decided that, yes, we can save that building.
Meanwhile, the church had put a lot of money into it that was essentially thrown away because their repairs hadn't worked.
About 10 years ago, a whole bunch of money got poured into that building, and a lot of those repairs just weren't done properly. Maybe they just didn't realize the extent of the problems. And we went before the parish council. We did the best we could, and the council voted to demolish the church. Luckily, however, just like a day before, the city of Cuesta had created an ordinance for historic preservation. And the Catholic Church had a demolition permit in hand, but they couldn't demolish the church because of the historic ordinance. And so time went on, and the community negotiated with the archdiocese. And the archdiocese decided that it would be okay for the community to take over the ownership of the church. So it was decommissioned as a Catholic church, so the work could go on, and they were given 6 years to rebuild the church.
So what was your role?
My role as structural engineer is to help determine what to do. So, for instance, we were going to rebuild some of these walls that collapsed. So coming up with details of foundations, how to build a 4-foot-thick wall, how to attach things together. A really key element in restoration of adobe buildings is to make everything work together, because when everything works together, it tends to be stronger. And if you just isolate little pieces of it, it tends not to work as well. And so as part of the decisions that need to be made are, do you put in a new foundation? Can you use the foundation that's there? This particular building didn't have a foundation. And it stood for a while, but it also has problems. So what we decided to do is rebuild walls where we had to and try to augment the structure as best we can. So that includes doing things like using strapping to strap the building together, kind of like a belt that goes around the building. Also, we have rods, through rods, that penetrate through the building and have big washers on each end that kind of hold that building together. And another thing is how to marry together existing walls with old walls. And we did that with structural pins, so it means drilling into the old adobe and putting in grout and epoxy, and then having those rods be connected into the new part of the buildings that we're stitching together. Another really key element is that when you have cracks in an adobe wall, you need to take out the adobe on each side of the cracks and then get new adobe and stitch it all together so that it has one unified fabric. So it's like weaving together the fabric of the adobe building.
Heavens.
It's very interesting stuff.
And it got done.
It got done, and it's getting done. And in fact, what's one of the most wonderful things about the project in Cuesta is that every weekend, on every Saturday, you have almost the entire community coming out there, mixing mud and building with adobes and helping each other, and they bring food, they eat together, and it's just a vibrant community. And I can't imagine how happy the priest must feel as he sees his church being rebuilt by his community. It's a beautiful feeling. And at this point, they've rebuilt that wall that had collapsed. There was another wall, also a nave wall that was about to collapse, and we took that down, and that's now been rebuilt. And now when you walk into that building in Cuesta, you feel like you're entering an ancient cathedral. It's 175 years old.
Now, it's not actually, you said it was decommissioned as a church, so it's not actually officially a church anymore.
At the moment, but in a few years, because it's going to take probably another year or two for the renovations to be complete, it'll become the parish church again.
They're going to re-sanctify
it,
or whatever?
Yes, it'll be re-sanctified, and it'll be the church, and they'll be there with their weddings and their funerals and all kinds of beautiful events that they will have there.
We're talking to Bill Drews and Quentin Wilson, and the theme of our conversation today is the Earth USA Conference, which is happening this coming weekend. Let's talk for a moment about earth building, adobe building, as an affordable material. I mean, it seems like there are so many things, and this happens in a lot of different areas. What was once traditional now has become kind of the building material of the wealthy, and cheap building materials tend to be the most toxic and tend to be the most environmentally unfriendly and fall apart, but that's what basically the working class can afford. What does that look like to you guys?
Well, one of the things that was wonderful about New Mexico is that everyone in New Mexico, all of the cultures here, highly prized adobe. And adobe was used by the Pueblos, and when the Spanish arrived, they were commissioned by the king to come and establish towns, which they called Pueblos, which is why the Native American towns were called Pueblos. And they, rather than change the building style, the Spanish added to it. And for the most part, the Pueblos were probably monolithic adobe, also called cob. And for the most part, it's felt that the Spanish introduced the concept of making the brick and putting it together with mortar. And along came the Northern Europeans, later on the Anglos, and they went right along with this and adopted. And so, whereas earthen structure, whether it was sod in Nebraska or some of the other structures that we found in upstate New York, Kansas, built by Mennonites, those were abandoned. But in New Mexico, it was prized and continued. And so a number of people, Peter Van Tresser, my mentor, Hassan Fathi, who wrote the book Architecture for the Poor, mentioned how poor people always wished to imitate rich people. And in so many other parts of the world, rich people were building with inappropriate materials like concrete and tin, and poor people wanted to do that. So the wonderful thing about New Mexico is that rich people, by wanting to live in adobe structures, legitimized it. But the backfire was that at the same time, then it got the concept that only rich people could build with adobe. And so we're seeing far fewer people going out and making their own adobe bricks, which is the best way to keep the price down. And then there are so many other things that go into the adobe house now: plumbing, electrical, floors, windows, doors, the roof system. And if people don't make economical choices in those areas, suddenly the adobe house does seem to be more expensive, and particularly around Santa Fe. But we find that the further we make it away from Santa Fe, the cheaper it seems that contractors can build with adobe. So I'd like to mention two things just quickly, three things actually, but we were working with a young man in Española, and hopefully this would have worked out with Habitat to build a house for him. And so between himself, neighbors, and volunteers, they made 6,000 adobes at very little cost for the house. That is currently stalled out, but we'll see what would happen. Another one of my heroes, Ernest Aragon out of Albuquerque, he's a contractor. And when he gets the contract to build a house, he just starts making the adobes right on the site for many of the houses he builds.
Just takes dirt out of the ground right there.
That's it. The local ground, just sun-cured adobes. And then the third thing I would mention is that the bottom line is the women of Mali. And around Jenna Mali, where the big, well-known mosque is in Jenna, the women go down to the Niger River as the water recedes after the rainy season, and they just pick up mud, and they pat the mud into brick shapes and leave it on the banks until it dries in the sun. Then the women and children go take those bricks home to build. And so there they have no tools, no money, no resources except the desire to build a house in their own hands. And so that's the wonderful thing about adobe. If you want to build with it, you can't be stopped. There's nothing to be withheld. The dirt is just there, and you can proceed. I'll stop at that.
What is the role of earth building adobe, like all the different things that you just talked about? I mean, not only in affordable housing, but in climate change mitigation.
Who knows what's going to be happening with climate changes, but certainly adobe can. We're going to see two papers on adobe resistance to tornadoes. We're going to see two or three papers on adobe resistance to seismic activity.
Earthquakes?
Earthquakes. And
adobe is resistant to earthquakes.
Well, it can be designed to be so. The thing about earthquakes is that wherever we are on the planet, the seismic risk, the earthquake risk, will vary. And New Mexico has lots of little bitty earthquakes, but not a whole lot of the really huge ones that we associate with California. And we have several zones, and it's in the code. In the state of New Mexico, Earth and Building Code, you have a chart that, and you can look on the map and see your risk area. And from that, you can simply design walls. It depends on the thickness of the wall and the height of the wall and a number of other things. So you can simply design for the conditions that you would expect at your area. And we are going to see one paper from a man, Dr. Fred Webster from California, who will make a proposal for, I believe, much thicker walls to increase adobe resistance to earthquakes. But besides earthquakes, we have to, then the question is floods. And we have a Pakistan paper, which will, I think it's in the, I think we are publishing it. We've just heard that the author will not be here. And he wants to, Pakistan, Bangladesh deal with many, you know, almost yearly with floods.
Yeah.
And so that's something we need to take a look at. I would say one thing, and that is an adobe structure, an earth-built structure, can actually stand up to several days of flooding. And as long as it doesn't squish out from the bottom, just turn back to mud, the building will dry out when the floodwaters recede. So as it turns out, earth instructions structures are more resistant than we might have expected. But the other, and then wind. So we have to think about wind, fire, and they've just tested adobe in Texas, somewhere around San Antonio, to prove that it doesn't burn. I don't think we would have had to make that proof in New Mexico, but it's been a very formal laboratory test. So it's fireproof to begin with. Big heavyweight adobe homes don't blow away in the wind. We do have to give some thought to flood problems, but earthquake may be, but I don't think, there's no adobe house in New Mexico that's come down in an earthquake. All adobe houses, as presently built, stand up to the types of earthquakes we get.
And adobe and earth is a sustainable material, because earth is plentiful.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of soil out there that can be used, and we're not going to miss any of the earth that is going to be used for
right.
an adobe block. And so is clay and lime plaster. There's so much of it. It's plentiful. So building with earth is a sustainable way of building. And another sustainable practice is the renovation of existing buildings. Why build a whole new building, start from scratch with new foundations and using all these brand new materials, when you can take an older home, an older adobe home, and renovate it and reuse all those materials that are ready used and already out there? Why go get new materials? So in that respect, building with earth and renovating earth in buildings is a very sustainable practice.
And if you combine it with passive solar, which is another one of the papers that's going to be read at the conference, then you can have a very low energy use house.
Passive solar and radiant heat.
Yeah.
Is such a delightful, comfortable combination. I mean, living in a home like I do that has that's Adobe and has passive passive solar and radiant heat. Remember when it was like 25 below a couple of years ago? My house was so toasty, so warm. I was so warm and toasty. I was running out to Hastings to go rent a video, and I was like so warm. I was just wearing, you know, sandals. I mean, when you live in an Adobe house, you are truly warmed.
Somewhat isolated from the realities of the outdoors.
Right, and when he had his toes sewn back on after the sandal excursion.
I was still warm.
So we're talking about the Earth USA conference, which is happening this coming weekend. Now, Quentin Wilson, you've been very involved in the education of young and future builders here in New Mexico. Are a lot of people going into that field?
Well, I wish they were, but the truth is that we're not seeing it. And one of the interesting things that has happened in the past, whenever there was the national economy took a dip, we would find many more people enrolling in construction classes, carpentry, plumbing, electrical, so that when construction got going again and the economy was running well, that people would have better skills. This last big drop, for whatever reason, we didn't see that, and we don't have an explanation for it. And I would say worldwide, Adobe is losing market share year by year. We're census 1960, 60% of the people on the planet were living in earthen homes. As of 2010, it's probably a little under 50%, maybe 40-45%. So we're losing market share. I would say definitely has been a trend away from the owner-builder movement that was so prevalent in the 1970s. And more people seem to be paying contractors to build. And so I would have to say we're not seeing the interest that I wish we were in people learning to build Adobe homes.
What do you think it would take to really bring that interest up?
If I only knew. I just don't know. And that's one of the things. Now, we're seeing, we may get answers from the conference, because what we see in the United States, we see time and again in other parts of the world. And first of all, there is always an assault on earthen building when a country gets to the point where they develop building codes. And then it takes a bunch of young people, say Bill Druce and other people, who say this thing has value, and people with enough weight behind them, because Bill is an engineer, people will listen to him, and they can say, you know, this is a worthwhile material, and they can work it back into the codes. But we see this when New Mexico went through this probably 40 years ago. We're going to see a couple of papers where this is going on in, let's say, Nigeria, Ghana, southern Sudan, where first thing the government does is say, well, we can't have earthen materials. It's just not worthwhile. And then the young people have to come in. You have to have the true believers and people with sometimes academic backgrounds where they can use laboratories to say, yes, indeed, we can test Adobe. It has the kind of properties that we can measure, and we can put these all together and design a house that will stand up. So it's a worldwide phenomenon, and we will see some of that. And maybe we'll get some more answers from people in other places.
Now, you've got a bunch of people coming up from Mexico.
Yes, we do.
What's going on there?
Well, I am unable to say yet. there is a lot of interest in Mexico. What I'd like to do, if I back up, I'm going to read off our first four speakers. And number one is Nripal Adhikari, and he's from Nepal. And he will talk about making bamboo and earth a mainstream material in Nepal. So he's having to work hard in his home country of Nepal to make this seem legitimate. And he's working with bamboo to replace what we might use, where we might use rebar and other reinforcing materials. Then we have Lucia Esperanza Garzón from Colombia. Her talk is Casa Supitina, Análisis post ocupación y resultados en las transferencias tecnologías. We are a dual language conference. I think she will actually present in Spanish, and she's got this wonderful house, and she's talking about after it's occupied, looking at technological transfer of what they have learned from this house, Casa Supitina. Anthony Yaw Osuwu from Ghana, the influence of Sudano-Sahelian architecture in Islam on the palace of the king of Wa in northern Ghana. And our fourth person will happen to be none other than Bill Druce, how partnership, teamwork, and state-of-the-art structural engineering come together to restore and rebuild four historic buildings in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area. So the thing I just wanted to point out there, this incredible wide range of things. Now, from Mexico, we have one person from just south around Chihuahua, and he has been working to restore one of these incredible palaces built by Terrazas, Luis Terrazas, who was a huge landowner, very wealthy. We're going to hear from a couple of people on analyzing types of clay to figure where they came from and when they were built in the Central Valley of Mexico. And just to mention, that will be from Francisco Javier Soria Lopez with Luis Fernando Guerrero Baca. I love these names. We always get four names. And and I left out the third is Ruben Salvador Rux Gutierrez. So I can't list. It's a widespread.
Yeah, if you read the whole thing, we'd be here until.
That's right. I'm just giving the names. So.
Yeah, and Mary Charlotte, right here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, we have an incredible organization, Cornerstones Community Partnership.
Right.
And their program director, Jake Barrow, is an amazing fellow who is so dedicated to community involvement in earth and building. And right now in Galisteo, New Mexico, there's La Sala, this awesome dance hall that the community is restoring after they had some problems with some adobe walls. And a youth group from Vermont is out there, like young people are out there, and they're plastering adobe and rebuilding adobe walls.
Amazing.
And, you know, having slinging mud around. And they're doing it all together. And Cornerstones Community Partnership also has worked on the San Miguel Chapel,
right,
which is like the oldest church in the United States. And youth groups are being trained there. People come in and they volunteer, and some kids get to make some money doing this kind of thing. And so there is still a future for young people in working with adobe.
Very much so.
If I could add, those young folks are from Castleton College, and those students will be here on the weekend. They're going to help us out. They'll be doing crowd control and helping out and getting speakers into the right place at the right time. Other people I should thank real quickly, Eric Schruck from right here at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
Yay.
Is a sponsor. And so is Nicole Carpenter from Whole Foods, Daniel Razaptos from the Plaza Cafe, and Ty Ayers at O'Hori's. All of these people will support us at on our breaks.
Excellent. So it's the Earth USA 2013 conference. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the New Mexico Museum of Art in the St. Francis Auditorium. And if people are hearing about this and they want to sign up, they can go to earthusa.org and they can find out information and contact you guys. And can they also just show up at the door?
Yes, they can. And we do have a trade fair on the plaza, which is open to the public and free. And it's
excellent. So that's on the plaza. And before we go, can we just talk about Johnny Depp?
Well, certainly. You're too young to remember Woody Guthrie, but he was a folk singer, wrote more songs than anybody in This Land Is Your Land. And in 1947, he wrote a novel called House of Earth. And it's the alter ego of himself, and it's a man who stays in Texas for the Dust Bowl. And he realizes that the best house to defend against the terrible conditions in the Dust Bowl would be a house made of earth, adobe. And somehow this was unearthed by a man named Douglas Brinkley and another man named Johnny Depp. And it is the Johnny Depp we might be thinking of. Johnny Depp has formed a publishing house with HarperCollins, and it's called Nihil Infinitum. And he wants to bring these incredible things to light that people haven't seen. Now, this book is wonderful, but because it's Woody Guthrie, there are passages in here that are not at all appropriate for a sixth grader. But
okay.
Both between Woody Guthrie and the introduction by Brinkley and Depp, they bring up more reasons to build with adobe than I could have thought of in the last 60 years. So it's a wonderful book.
I want to thank you both very much for being here. Quentin Wilson, retired teacher of adobe construction, and Bill Drews, structural engineer, Earth USA 2013. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It's been a pleasure, Mary Charlotte. And thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.